Podtacular Tip Show, episode 80, for the week of September 11th, 2006.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Fumo Jive.
I'm JBB.
And this is Jublang.
Jublang. Coming in via cell phone, via satellite.
Yes. Using a brand new way of recording, using Skype out. And I'm on my cell phone because we had some troubles connecting with my mic or whatever. But
wonders of modern technology.
Yeah, big thank you to Fumo because, sticking with me and trying to get this thing rolling. But we got it in the end.
Well, welcome, man. Welcome, welcome. Jublang is our content editor from way back and our very first forum mod as well, and kind of our show critic in a good way. So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to have feedback, you know?
Exactly. And right we on. Do get our fair share.
Yeah, really. No doubt. Yeah, with the the whorehouse last week and everything.
But to me, that always makes things better,
Makes things interesting.
Exactly. And we listen to you guys, so don't think that your criticism goes in one ear and out the other, because we do try to accommodate everybody.
Yeah, it goes in one ear, out the other, and back in the first ear.
Nah, especially if you send cash.
That usually speeds things up quite a bit.
Well, this is the tip show where we're going to be covering all kinds of general tips to help you level up and stay there within Halo 2 matchmaking and customs for that matter.
We're also tips.
Going to be covering Map of the Month Lockout, where we're going to be going through that. We usually go through this by game type, but we got so many different types of tips. We just kind of bunched them all together this time, and we think you'll like it that way. So we're going to be covering tips from levels 25 to 35. Hopefully that will help you guys out to kind of break through the level where you're at and get to the next level above. So also,
I'm fairly disappointed that nobody has given millions of tips for Team Bubble Bath. I mean, so many different ways to play that game.
That's right, man.
That's like the original Podtacular custom game, Bubble Bath.
Yeah. You turn up the jets on the left side.
That's right. And, a lot of people listening to Podtacular have no idea what Bubble Bath is until recently.
Exactly.
And talked about it. But, I was there.
Go back to the time capsule and listen to the episodes.
Yep.
That's right.
Listen to them all.
It's JBB. Anyway. Them all, come on.
Do it. Yeah, if you're lucky enough, you can hear my very first call-in.
That's right.
Yeah. Yay!
Back in the day.
You sound exactly the same, though. You haven't changed at all.
No kidding.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the whole thing.
Well, getting started here, first thing we're going to go to is our general tips.
You can't beat them.
Let's settle in. Anyone see a Starbucks? Oh, there's one over there. Oh, and one across the corner. Oh, and then there's one across the corner. Oh, there's 12 of them.
Let's get to some Halo 2 tips for Xbox Live.
Come on, Medicorn! Woohoo!
So, Jublang, why don't you start us off, man?
All right, here we go. Bryant says that he's currently a 35. He has a good tip that he tries to tell, or I'll just read it first person, that I try to tell my friends. When I watch them, they always run around guns blazing, which doesn't seem to go so well. Whenever you play a game of Slayer, you shouldn't just go for the dual SMG plasma rifle combo automatically and go hunting for people. This often gets you killed nearly every time, in fact, unless you're really lucky. What you should do is always try to keep an advantage over your opponents instead of relying on luck to get the kill. Always try to have the high ground and have a weapon like a BR carbine or any kind of rifle for when you need the instant kill with the headshot. Also know where all the hot spots are, the places that people always go to. You can pick up some very easy kills this way with grenades.
Yep.
When you're running down hallways, throwing through doors, through corridors in front and behind you, often you'll hit someone, and even if you don't, it'll keep them behind cover. Make sure to always be throwing them if you know someone is there. It'll keep them pinned down so you can easily get to them or have a partner flank them. And another good tip that works really well for midship is to shoot people even if you know there's no way you can kill them, like if they're about to run behind a wall. That one shot you get on them will keep them behind that wall until their shields recharge, keeping them out of the fight for a few moments, which will give your team an advantage. And always make sure to call out every single person you see for the rest of your team and how many times you've hit them so that they possibly have a better angle and they can finish them off. So the most helpful tip is to always make sure you have some kind of advantage over your opponent. Never rely on surprising or getting that first shot off, which is a good tip.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I mean, I remember watching, I don't know if you guys ever watched it. I believe it was Ogre 2. He had that video up of a 49-0 game he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see that actually, yeah.
And if you notice in that video, he would look into these certain spots at all times, and lo and behold, people were running out, and he was just sniping them. So it's always good to remember the key spots where everybody tends to come out of and everything like that.
That's right, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, you know, it seems like a lot of the better players play at mid to long range because, I mean, when you think about it, if you're able to do that and someone else can't get the jump on you, then they don't have a way to defend as easily as someone that's fighting close range. I mean, I generally fight close range with, like he's talking about, with two SMGs or SMG and plasma rifle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can generally beat someone about 75% of the time. But the problem is if I get BR'd before I can get there in an open spot, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah, for good.
Exactly.
So that's
why
it seems
like. If you
watch
any of the pro matches with Team 3D or, you know, any of those guys, they'll always, always trade a BR for, you know, like SMT or even a combo, a good combo, like the SMG and plasma rifle. They'll always grab that BR just because it's such an all-around great weapon. Mm-hmm. And medium range really is a big advantage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we'll go to Rusty2005i, and he says, "Hey, guys, Rusty. Rusty here, and I've got a tip for you, but actually it's not a tip, you know, but, yeah, FUMO. I think you should say that thing about how to wear the original Xbox Live headset if the Clippo is broken because it rocks."
Okay, yeah, let me explain this, and you can get the next one, TJB. The way this works is that your Xbox Live One headset, right, there's like that little clip that clips onto the back thing that always breaks.
Always breaks. Yep.
It's just a horrible design, and I'm sure they knew that once they released it, pretty much. they were probably slapping their foreheads after that. But so this clip, right, it always breaks. You guys probably know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, yeah, I got a broken one right now. I got a duct tape together, or I got a paper clip together or something like that. But there is a way that you can basically like slide the headset through the headband to make it work just fine. I mean, I actually prefer it to the way it normally clips on. What
you
do,
the whole base in there, right through that sliding part.
Yeah, basically, you know how you have on the headset, if you guys have it around, you have that rubber part where there's kind of like a large hole that is supposed to be kind of a air part to go on your to slide around your ear and give you a little bit of. Kind of like padding, but really it's just like a slot of rubber, right? So anyway, there's a big hole right there. So what you do is you bring your headset on the outside, and then you slide it microphone first through that hole, and then you basically twist it around to the left so that I'm holding my headset right now, so I make sure I explain this right, so that your earphone part is faced in towards your ear. And then what that does is that pushes the earphone directly at your ear instead of like clipping over your ear and like holding it kind of close to your ear. Yeah. I mean, because the problem it normally is like it like jiggles around and bounces and all that, and it's just annoying. It doesn't always get right next to your ear, and you can't always hear loud enough.
And, I hate when it jiggles.
It jiggles and wiggles and giggles and everything. But when it jiggles, it's a pain. But it goes for many things. But the way, generally I like to do this better. I mean, I don't even have a broken clip on mine right now, and I have it set up this way. So I'll actually have a picture either in the show notes or in the forums. You guys can look that up at podtiger.com. I have a drawing that makes it very clear on how to do that.
Nice.
And so if you guys have duct tape or something like that, I'm telling you, this is so much better than using any of that crap. Because that gets stuck in your hair and everything. It's a total mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had like a pink hair braid for my wife, and I wrapped it around it and got it there, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to even take it out, you know, because it's going to fall off.
You had a pink hair braid?
Yeah, so, you know.
Nice.
Wow, that's really cute.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not scared of my masculinity.
That's right.
Do you wear that, like, outside when you're not, when you don't have your headset, too?
Yeah. You have a couple of them on your wrist.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Halo 2. Oh, man. All right. So, J.P. Oliver, he says, I have a general tip about the sword. If you play on a map where you can fall to your death, you should try to avoid charging an enemy with the sword. This is because you have a probability of falling off the ledge yourself, and it has happened to me. Then you lose your kill and the energy sword. If avoided, you could be able to keep your sword for perhaps a few more minutes and rack up a couple of more kills for your team. Yeah, I've had that happen where I miss a lockout, and I'm like, whee! And I'm like, oh, man. And that's like the only time I could fly.
Yeah.
I could fly.
Also, a good way to avoid that flying off the edge is just whenever you're going after somebody with the sword, just jump up and try to do, you know, the sword attack as you're up in the air at the top of your jump.
So that
way you're
downwards.
At least angled down a little bit. So you have a little bit less chance of just sliding off the edge like that.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, there was one kid who kept doing that to me. He had the sword on midship, and he would jump slightly backwards and then dash forward. And I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Man, he was just racking up kills like that. I'm like, I hate the sword.
Your wife's like, what'd you say, honey? You're like, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, I'm fine.
No, I just hate the plasma sword. That's it. Get out of my way!
No, not for nothing. Sometimes I would get mad, and she's like, don't take it out on me. And I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. Sorry.
You're like, stupid noob.
I actually heard somebody say in the news that somebody was a noob.
Oh, yeah?
He called one of the... you know, that election's going on, and the news guy on the radio said, he's a political noob, and I'm like, oh,
dude, nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Halo community is going to take over the universe, say.
Yep.
Rob. He's a political nub. He's like a level 10.
You're a nub. Uber noob.
Oh, man. All right, so you want me to take the next one, or?
G-Blank, go ahead, dude.
All right, RF925. Says, while I know being in a Covenant Elite makes any sniper shot above the waist a headshot, it has more armor that takes on the secondary emblem color. If you have your secondary color set as pink or red and you're blue, it makes you appear red, confusing the enemy. It also works backwards if your secondary color is blue and you're red. I found this out when he and a bunch of friends all became pink elites with red hearts and went to matchmaking. So I guess he's talking about his symbol and his armor colors. So if you do the right combination there with the elite only, apparently, it'll make you appear as the other person's team. Which
nice.
That has confused me many times. Seriously, dude. It's like,
that's sweet.
Because they're like half red and half blue. And it's like, what freaking color are you? Are you on my team? And
yeah, sometimes I just walk right by them. I'm like, la la la. I'm like, team killer.
So
I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot.
And your wife's like, what? And you're like, nothing, honey.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Don't worry about it.
You're alone.
Noobs.
Nah, well, I hate nubs.
On to Poopy Man, who sent in some tips for better poning. Number one, stretch before playing. I usually start with a thumb stretch. Down and up and left and right. Number two, fluids and lots of them. So when you die and you got that 5 second to respawn, a quick gulp of Mountain Dew or the doctor, and you should be good.
I hate you.
The doctor. Or if you got an empty cup, you can, you know, empty out.
You can empty out.
Yeah. Number three, it's always best to keep a towel at hand for when it gets really intense. If sweat gets in your eyes, that's one less kill you could have had. Wow.
Okay, now that is a good tip. Because, I don't know about you guys, when I'm playing Halo or any video game for that matter, any console game, my hands really do. They get sweaty fast.
Really?
Yeah, me too, man.
I'm always just like wiping them off my shirt or whatever. So having a towel on hand is a pretty good idea.
Hmm. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Because I get the like shakes occasionally, like playing a really intense like FFA game or something like that.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't usually, occasionally I'll sweat, but only when it's like, I don't know, it's a really, really, really intense game or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, I'll get the shakes when there's a real good match. I hands start shaking.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I get the sweating thing just among people whose name is Joe.
Nah.
Yeah, two Joes here. Yeah, and then if I haven't played Halo for like 2 or 3 days, I get the shakes. Like, come on, I'm gonna get Halo.
I'm shaking.
So he says, let's see, speech. Always say noob. Every other word should be noob. Eventually it will come fluently to you, and you'll say political noob.
Nah, political noob.
Number five, music. Playing music for all to hear is the best. Do it for maximum annoyance. Definitely, rap, and like rap along with it. That's maximum annoyance right there.
Yeah, no. Put on a rap song, and then over and over, just say the same lyrics because that's the only lyric you know. I hate that.
Dude, you know what's the worst? Okay, you're in pregame lobby, right? It's like big team BTB Slayer, right? And you're like, you're like, you're getting all set up and everything, and everybody yeah, you're getting all set up, and then, like, this one guy's, like, got the rap music blasting, and he's rapping with it, and he's not listening because his rap music's blasting so loud. He's, like, he's going on, and everybody's like, shut up, noob, and everything. He's going and going, and then, the game starts, and all of a sudden you hear it again through your, like, speakers on your TV, and you're like, crap, man, he's on my team.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the worst.
Yep. I'm like, I always say the same thing. I'm like, hey, guys, I got a new radio, and I'm going to play it for everybody to hear it. And then he's on my team. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
Or you hear the cheesy techno music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Techno.
And you're like, shut up. And he's like, what? I can't hear you. My music's too loud. What?
The best is when they're on the other team, and you know that they're, you're like, all right, he's around. Let me just hide.
Yeah, exactly. He's coming out the store right now.
Him to run in the middle of the other team and just kill them all with his horrible voice.
And you're like, it's like, here he comes.
Yeah. And all the other team is like, Bob's dead.
He comes running around the corner like,
yeah. He's just like emanating a pulse of like evil.
I know. And then you hear the break, you hear,
Nice.
Oh man.
Okay, so next, we got bragging. Headshots, BXR, sticks, or even just a basic kill. Brag like there's no tomorrow, just to piss the other team off. Occasionally this works, actually. It worked against me one time.
Headshot.
Yeah, really.
Ooh, I pwned you with my rocket launcher from the back.
Single kill, how you like that, huh? Oh, shotgun no scope. Oh, in your face.
Oh, no scope.
Oh, man. Oh, it took you 3 shots to kill me. You suck. Whenever I get back online, whenever somebody kills me, I'll be like, man, you couldn't have killed me quicker than that? Man, you suck. I wasn't even trying.
Sucks to be you.
You got
man.
No skill at all.
Damn.
All right, well, moving on. JBB, you're up.
All right, UPS Man 23, and we were actually talking about UPS, so nothing bad. But anyway, he says, But seriously, crouch meleeing is probably one of the best combos you can do in close combat. It will make your opponent's melee miss and leave you for an easy beatdown while you're crouching. Experimenting different move. Wait. Let's back up. They're experimenting different scenarios where you can crouch. Then he writes in the bottom, Fumo, tell that tip from MLG, the anticipation dodge.
Yeah,
crouch,
I wrote
then
that.
Stand up and jump. Plus the Gandhi hop.
The Gandhi hop.
I wrote that to myself, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
You're like, I don't know why it's in italics. I don't know what he wrote that for.
I don't know, man. You know.
It's like, note to self, make sure you... Oh, it looks like Fumo wrote this to himself.
Whoa.
Yeah,
well,
so...
You know, I figured, you know, I'd let people know what you were thinking about. You know?
Well, thanks, man. I'm thinking out loud right there. That's cool.
I'm well, the voice in your head.
I was going to say that... is that I found this tip from a MLG post that somebody made in our forums that was talking about a couple different dodges for battle rifles that were really effective that helped out. The first one was, it was talking about an anticipation dodge to where keep an eye on their first fire when they hit you, and then right before the second one fires, crouch down so that they're going to miss you with that headshot. And then right on the next one after that, stand up and jump, so that you basically jump over their shot. So after that,
right,
there's the...
Right, because they move down because they're trying to shoot you while you're crouched. That makes sense.
Exactly, yeah. So they're going to move down. So they might hit you anyway, but they'll probably miss the headshot. So the thing is, you're firing this whole time. And then another thing to do is that to prevent them from hitting headshots, especially sniper rifles, this is really helpful, I found, is while you're jumping, keep like tapping the crouch with pressing it on the left stick. So that you're able to you know, keep tapping that, and what that'll do is that'll prevent them from getting the headshot because your body will be like bouncing up and down in the air. So
yeah, like teabagging in the air.
Exactly.
UFKX360 says, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly, UFKX360. Here's an easy way to improve your game. Go into either low level Slayer on a second account or team training on your main, and turn on your handicap to moderate. Keep playing games with it at this level, and it will help you to be more alert of enemies, and also help you to get a better at frantic fire fight situations. It also forces you to utilize such techniques as BXR, BXB, and noob combo. Keep up the good work, UFKX360. I actually know a lot of people that do this. I actually go into regular ranked playlist too, and turn a handicap on to moderate, and I'm sure it helps helps your skill, no doubt, because I mean you're severely handicapped.
Yeah.
Whenever you turn it back off, you're like unstoppable.
Yeah, no, that's I always forget about BXR in close combat. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
So. Me too, dude. I mean, I can't. It's probably just because I'm fairly casual player, you know. I don't really want to like play with the stopwatch around my neck or anything like that, and
yeah, for real.
Keep track of where everything's gonna spawn and when, and you know, keep track of how many shots everybody has on them. I mean, I know that would help my game, but I'm just a little too casual for that. Maybe lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I can understand
that
would really
do that. It'd take away the fun big time.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, if you got to be competitive, then you got to be competitive. And some people are just
yeah.
Hey, I'm competitive no matter what, you know, no matter what it takes, I'm going to win. And that's cool, mm-hmm. You know. But I'm sure this is one that's, you know, hey, it's easy to do, and it probably will help your game. So
yeah.
You might go down a few levels, but once you do, you'll eventually work your way back up, and then once you turn it off, you'll be owning.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, I'll do the next one. Aurora X. Most Halo 2 tips involve strategies that rely on you being alive and being constantly in the game. A much more effective strategy would be to concentrate on recovering after getting killed, because face it, you will die in every single game. With very few exceptions, for example, after you respawn, return to the post you died to pick up your old weapons. Chances are that if you had a power weapon, it would have been picked up by your killer. For example, another one. If you had rockets in a BR, your killer will have to probably pick up the rockets, but they might leave you the BR. This way you have a step up on many of the other players. Also, if you die with a power weapon, you should try to play according to the assumption that your enemy will now have it. If you die with a sniper, don't run out in the open. If you die with a sword, be watching radar and stay out of tight areas. Sorry about that. If you die with rockets, try to surprise the enemy. Just make sure they don't go straight back into combat. That you don't go straight back into combat and die. Check your teammates and make sure that the quickest recovery. Wait, that you make the quickest recovery possible. Yep, always pay attention to them weapons that you had because somebody picked it up.
So I guess he's saying, like, if you die with a power weapon, go grab your power weapon. And then after that he says, if you die with a power weapon, don't grab your power weapon.
No, I mean, I guess he's saying, like, if I kill you with a shotgun, but I had the sword and the sniper rifle, you're going to pick both up and leave the shotgun. So I'm assuming he means if you had a somewhat powerful weapon of your own, you're going to drop a better weapon than an SMG.
Right.
And, you know, you'll have some type of slight edge, which right. does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay. Well, moving on, we're going to go to the map of the month.
Hey, while you're messing around, Johnny Green Jeans over here is whooping serious ass.
Let's talk about our map of the month.
Hey guys, here I come. I've got guns with me.
We're going to go through a few of these. And, you know, we're skipping through a lot of these, just so you guys know. A lot of people have sent in tips. A lot of tips. We probably got three times as many tips as we can possibly read. So thanks to you guys for sending those in. And if you want to check those out, feel free to check out our show notes. They're on podtacker.com. Also, if you're listening to this in iTunes or if you're listening to it with like an iPod Nano or an iPod Video, I believe you can press the center button, which will take you to the lyrics field. We actually have the show notes in the lyrics field, so you guys can listen. You guys can check out the whole thing there and read all the extra stuff that we didn't mention on the show. And there's some great tips in here, definitely. So feel free to do that.
That's a freaking awesome feature.
Yeah.
Lyrics. Just hit it and the show notes are right there.
Yeah, I'm so glad we did that finally. You know, I don't know why I didn't think of that before. Somebody mentioned that and I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So yeah. Moving on to our map of the month lockout. And the first one on this is going to be from A Zebra, who says, hey guys, I have some tips for team MLG games on lockout. First off, this map, especially in a 1v1 game, is a huge fire for the higher levels. If possible, never drop down to a lower level to get away. Try thinking more horizontal. While most people fight over Sniper 1 and 2, try and control the BR tower. If you put one man with the sniper and BR on the top level, one man in the middle level looking out from the window about the sword, and two people on bottom, it'll be very hard for the other team to try to take the BR tower. And if they do, they'll probably not have enough time to set up. You'll probably be able to take it back immediately. Now, of course, if you don't have control of the sniper or shotgun, but besides this one downfall, this is a very good strategy. So that actually makes pretty good sense because a lot of people do run around the corner and try to get to sniper tower just because there's a lot of action around there. But if you can control the BR tower and kind of keep it long range to mid range there, then, you know, you really got a good advantage. So.
Yeah. Yeah, another one I notice people like to do is right by the that airlift, whatever you call it. People camp down there as well.
Yeah, the bottom floor lift.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good area to cover actually because you got a lot of the only thing that might be trouble is when people drop down from above.
Exactly.
And even when they do, I mean, you can. You can get out of one of the doors pretty quick to be able to get out of range. So, or you can run under the lift, you know, or well to the side. So anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I'll go to. Oh, you gonna read what else he said, or you want me to take that for you?
You go ahead. I'm done. Oh yeah. He also okay. Yeah, we'll just go ahead. Let's move on to the next one after that.
All right. He also says that, hey all, I have some more tips. This one is for communication. When in the battle, oh my God, he's on the one thingy by that gun.
He said ZOMG, and you're like, oh my God.
That doesn't really help. So, to help you guys out, here are some of the common generic names for different places on this map. First off, numbers. When you name a place, you say the area, and then you say the level. The number for the level goes from bottom to top. So, the bottom level is 1, the middle level is 2, and the top is 3, and so on. So, for names, the BR Tower, called BR when naming it. This is the tower closest to the sword, with a battle rifle, and some fusion cores at the top. Now, the library. This area has many names, but library is the most commonly used.
It's above the
looks
sword.
It looks like he wrote moist, anyway. This is the area above and by the sword.
Library is very moist.
Oh, man. Adjacent to the... Ah, it's moist. Adjacent to the BR tower. Many times a team will use battle rifle tower and library 1 and 2, or 2 in conjunction. Next, the middle, or grass. Nope, glass. Sorry about that. Glass 2 is grass. Very open.
I don't know what version you're playing, man. Dang.
Dude, because when I read it, I'm like, grass. I don't remember grass in Lockout. It's snowing. It's on a mountain.
You're like anyway, the sunny version of Lockout there. Like a rainbow two is on very... the edge.
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
Glass 2 is very open, so often people will move throughout the level through Glass 1. If your team controls Glass 1, they control where the other team goes. Next, the gravity lift or plane lift. This is the bluish purple grav lift. This is not a very strong position. With this many entrances and little cover, I often try to avoid this area whenever possible. Only using a stepping stone to get to the BR tower or sniper tower. The green room or green is below the lift and contains the shotgun. Next, the walkway from the sniper tower to lift 1. This is in the bottom corner and referred to as the elbow. Or elbow. This is also an open and dangerous area.
As the elbow or elbow. For those of you that don't like to say the.
Yeah.
It's also called elbow.
I don't have that much time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The elbow. Oh. Dead.
Just go, yo, I'm at the L.
I'm at E.
Real. Only use this as a stepping stone, like the lift. And lastly, the sniper tower, or sniper, the most commonly used area in most games.
Or
this
S.
Area is. Oh, the snit.
Yeah, the snit.
I'm at the snit.
I'm at the snit.
Or you can combine the elbow and sniper to go, I'm at L sniper.
El Sniperama.
The sniper.
Yeah, exactly.
In like Espanol.
Elbow. But you don't have to say that. You can just say sniper.
Or you can say sneeze elbow. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sneeze so, elbow.
Sneeze elbow.
Snibble-a-blue.
Snibble.
How about the Snell common... VR tower? I keep cutting
oh,
you
man.
Off, dude.
So he's like, this is the most common area, and this area is easy to hold, and overlooks most of the map. Overlooks much of the map.
Dang.
That's all of them, or at least I think it is. Hope this helps.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it does help. I mean, this oftentimes people go, he's in Sniper Tower 2, and I'm like, just tell me where he's at. Put some lingo, please.
What? He's at El Sniper Emo.
El Sniper VR. Green.
El Grass. Sniper under glass green room.
It's the moist place.
Under glass 1 and 2. Infiltration.
What?
He's in Sector 5, Group G.
You sank my battleship.
Really?
G5.
All right, G-Blaine, you're up, dude.
All right, Crimson Rice. Crimson Rice says, you all know the area where the fusion cores on Sniper 3 are, right? Right.
Right.
Well,
once you... right. Well, once you blow them up, grab a BR and sniper, go and crouch in a small place where the fusion cores once were, because they're not there anymore because you blew them up. Make sure you are crouching against the side that leads down to snipe 2 is. This is a good spot to snipe BR people at the top left and BR 2. When people come up to snipe 3, they won't know that you're there, and you'll be able to assassinate them when they step in front of you. Snipe people before they get cover on BR 3, and if they reach BR 3 and are not sniped by you, all they have to do is throw a few plasmas at sniper 3, and you go boom. After you stay at sniper 3 for a while, jump down and head over to BR 3. The other team will think that you are still at sniper 3, and they will keep looking at the fusion core space. Once this happens, snipe them. All in all, this is a good way to get at least 15 kills if you're good at it. Note, this tip only works against level 25 to level 30s. I hope would know about this. If they don't, then they are stupid. Okay.
Right. If they don't, then they are stupid.
Come on.
Those fusion cores are where the sniper rifle spawns. A lot of people, when they spawn at the BR tower, which he was talking about, if you spawn at the BR tower and as you're jumping into that middle space, if you throw a frag grenade up by where that sniper rifle is and have it land and stay right in there so it doesn't bounce out, it'll actually blow the sniper rifle to you.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Off
that ledge. And so that is actually pretty useful.
No, the best is when somebody's there and they're trying to snipe you and you're like, all right. And you throw a nice little sticky and you see their body fly like 1,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, no kidding. If you get that just right, too, you can actually get that from BR1, which is, bottom level BR. There's 3 levels to the BR tower.
Right.
So very bottom, you guys, like level 25 to 35, are like, shut up, I know that already, jeez. But,
different realms.
So you swing down there and you go off to the ramp to the side at BR1, and if you aim it just right, look up on YouTube if you want to, and you can check it out on, if you aim it exactly right, you can spawn right near to there, go down there and aim it just right, and then throw a sticky, and you can land a grenade from all the way down at BR1, all the way to Sniper Tower, or Sniper 2, and launch the sniper rifle perfectly in like a perfect trajectory right at you to where you can grab it in midair. And you can have sniper from across the map. So, anyway, that's pretty cool.
The guys who figured that out are dedicated. I don't care what anybody says, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, so, okay.
Big house smoker.
Okay, so moving on. So, I got one more tip I wanted to add in here that was a CTF tip that I heard from someone that works really well. Basically, what you do on CTF on lockout... I use this a lot on CTF Classic on lockout, where it's touch return. Well, what works is all you need is 2 guys. The rest of them can go and do their stuff and kill people and everything and try to go for the flag and tie people up and everything. In the meantime, you got 2 guys that run over to the top floor lift, and they jump up on the corner. One guy jumps down, the other guy jumps right behind him, so that when the first guy lands, the second guy lands right behind him. So the first guy, of course, grabs the flag, and the second guy is basically like a meat shield. I think it was either Dweezil or Zerzdeej from Ty the Leader that told me about this, but if I get that wrong, I apologize. But anyway, so the first guy is basically like a meat shield. He's firing back at the other guy. He's taking a lot of hits and everything, and he's probably going to die. The second guy, that is, the guy that jumps behind him, right? So the first guy that's got the flag is running. The other guy is like taking all the hits. So while he's doing that, I mean, he's giving the other guy precious time. And in the meantime, the other guy is running up upstairs on the elbow towards the center. There's a guy waiting up top on over glass, so second floor glass 2, whatever you want to call it. And he's waiting there for the flag. As soon as the guy gets up there and he gets around that corner, he can jump up, throw the flag to the guy up there. That guy can grab the flag. run across glass, and then jump to the little handrail, jump up to the BR3, and get to the top to score it. I mean, it's really helpful, especially in games where there's like a lot of players. There's a lot of guys staying in bottom floor lift. Lift one, waiting to attack anybody that jumps down from lift two to try to get the flag right there. Because you got that extra shield, it really helps to guard you from those guys that are trying to fire at you in the meantime. So, really useful.
Sweet. Nice.
Okay, so that is our map of the month. Lockout, if you guys, once again, if you guys want to check out more tips, make sure to check out the show notes. We got a lot of stuff there, a lot more than we were able to cover.
Yes, we do.
So,
a lot.
Thanks everybody for sending stuff in. If you didn't get read up, otherwise, feel free to send it in the future. Next time, make sure to send it in as soon as possible when we ask for it, too. So, just so you know, the sooner you send it in, the more likely we are to read it. So,
exactly. And if you send some cash.
Yeah, cash always
definitely,
helps.
Definitely make it in the show.
You can send that directly to me, and I'll make sure I get to contact you.
Yeah, just as long as you pass on that cash, then we're all good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you see Tube Lane and a new yacht, then you know.
Yeah. What's going on here, right? We bought him a yacht for sending in tips to Pontac.
I'm calling from my yacht. I just finished sailing for Swordfish, and I figured I'd send in a tip.
Hope you guys like it. It was worth it for me, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Ta-ta!
Pour me another glass, dear.
When hooking a swordfish, make sure.
Man, you do that voice too good, man. Okay. Well, moving on. Now we have an interview going on.
Man, I love you this much.
It's time for a Podtacular interview.
Score one for the good guys.
From the Codex. So nice. This is actually, I've been wanting to do this interview for quite a while. We had this interview in our queue and wanted to do it earlier, but it just turned out in the rotation that ended up now. This is a great interview, guys. Hope you really enjoy it with guys from Codex. So here we go. Well, hey guys, Primo Jive here, and I'm here with Alex and Ryan from the Codex. Hey guys.
Hey.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourselves?
My name is Alexander Nguyen. I am the writer, producer, director, composer of the Codex, and going to USC Film School right now, and
sweet.
That's me.
I'm Ryan Luther, producer, webmaster, lead puppeteer, several other things I can't really remember off the top of my head.
Special effects master.
Yes.
Nice.
At the moment, I am doing nothing.
Okay.
But
talking to us, cool.
Yes.
Indeed.
All right, well, let's see here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Codex, what it is, what it does.
Well, the Codex is a 20-episode Halo 2 Machinima series that we made last year in the spring and summer. And it has grown to be, to kind of generically include the prequel that we're making this summer called The Heretic. And it's what we're working away on right now.
Awesome. So this is like kind of a dramatic take on Machinima, right?
Right. It's as opposed to the popular comedy kind of thing, we base ours more in the mood of Lord of the Rings or The Matrix kind of thing, action drama series.
Very cool. Well, yeah, so you guys have gotten a lot of notoriety for the Codex, right?
Right. Yeah, we've had... Ryan?
We've actually done several things. A few months ago, we were in the Dallas Observer and the Houston
Press.
Houston Press, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
As their cover story. Then we've also been on MTVU, which is MTV's university channel, which we actually flew out to LA for, which is pretty fun.
Man, that's awesome. They flew you out there and did like an interview with you and stuff?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we.
It was a short segment on their Gamers Ball thing.
Yeah, the team all flew out to LA. Obviously, I was there because I'm going to USC. And we spent the weekend hanging out, and then Sunday and Monday we filmed a little segment for their Gamers Ball show about how we do the codex.
It's awesome, man. Wow.
Yeah, and we actually also saw somebody with a codex t-shirt when we were in like Universal City Walk, I think. Which
yes.
Was...
Dude, that must have been exciting right there, right?
Yeah, it had... Didn't really hit us how big it was until right then.
Wow. Yeah. That is really cool. JVB,
most recently,
go ahead.
Yeah. Most recently we were at ACON in downtown Dallas. We had a booth and we were on a panel with Gus Tirola from Red vs. Blue. And it's been nice to see the press page fill up as we start to get more and more well known.
That's great. So what did you guys talk about? Kind of machinima, how it works, and how to make successful machinima and things like that?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, right.
mostly just talking about, you know, how you do things to make sure they're not just a passing fancy, and I guess how to make something successful, and also some of the techniques and plans for the future and whatnot.
Cool.
Yeah, one of the things that we also talked about was one of the members of our crew that worked on the Codex actually is working on his own series now called Forsaken, made in World of Warcraft. And so he was also on the panel. And so some of the conversations centered on, you know, well, you did Halo, now you're doing World of Warcraft. Have you ever considered this engine or that engine? And, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so JVB writes in asking, are you surprised by the fan support you've gotten?
Yeah, we've been pleasantly surprised. When we released episode 1 on February 9th, we had already made the first 4 episodes, I think, or maybe we were making the 4th, and we had a pretty solid idea of what was coming up, and so we thought it was a pretty cool series and didn't see any reason why anybody else would, but it's definitely a gamble when you put it out there. You know, plenty of perfectly good movies go, you know, through the Hollywood system and don't get noticed. So it's definitely been really gratifying to see, you know, people kind of sit up and take notice.
That's great. Awesome, man. So how did you get to episode 1? I mean, how did this all get started?
Well, we... When Halo 2 first came out, as I'm sure everybody listening to this is aware, one of the first things that we did was, like everybody else, we grabbed the game and shoved it into the Xbox and started up the multiplayer maps so that everybody was scrambling to learn all the maps so that they could play with their friends and have a little bit of an advantage. And Ryan had come over to my house. We were running around, and we went to Waterworks, the cave map, and there's a giant structure in the middle of it. And because the multiplayer maps aren't tied to the single-player story, we had no idea what it was. And so we just started running around and kind of going, you know, what do you think that thing is? It's kind of cool looking, but there's no explanation of what it does. And over the next couple of hours, we just started coming up with all these cool ideas. And, you know, Ryan suggested, well, you know, we came up with this idea. Maybe it's like a compendium of knowledge for all the Forerunner's technology. And we were trying to think, you know, what would you call something like that? And Ryan said, well, how about a codex? You know, like an ancient book, like the Mayan codices. And after a couple of hours, we had all these characters and scenes and stuff made up. And we just kind of looked at each other and we went, that would be a good movie. So we just decided to make it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, we also we tried our hands at a couple of movies before the Codex set in the Halo world, but
through.
Yeah, we were thinking about doing like 3DS Max completely computer generated movies, and those didn't really go through. But thus, when we came up with the idea for the Codex, it wasn't that big a stretch for us to say, well, let's try and make it, because we'd already tried to make several Halo movies beforehand.
Yeah, did the 3DS Max stuff turn out to be a lot more work than you expected?
Yeah.
Considering I'm really the only one of the crew, aside from Patrick, who wasn't really part of the crew at the time, that has any sort of knowledge of that sort, considering I was one man, I didn't really pan out at all.
Yeah,
we were trying to make a 2-hour movie with one person, and it just there are reasons that, you know, Pixar has hundreds of people working on it and hundreds of millions of dollars, and we didn't have any of that. So
yeah, I started on it, and I was like, you know what, maybe not.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, Dialpex asked what made you decide to do the Codex with the storyline in a mostly dramatic fashion as opposed to maybe a comedy or just more of a lighthearted action or something.
Well, as a filmmaker, I had seen Red vs. Blue beforehand, and while I thought it was hilarious and I loved the idea of using Halo to make movies, kind of my first reaction was, it's an action game. You know, I mean, it's cool to have them telling jokes, and it was really funny, but you're missing almost everything that engine was designed to do. So wouldn't it be awesome to take that movie style, but really milk that engine for everything it was worth? You know, really get some awesome action sequences, the kind of thing that never happens on Xbox Live, because everybody's just running around doing their own thing. But if you could coordinate it the way you do a live-action movie, but have everything already created in the game, you could make a really cool story. And so the idea was already kind of in my head to make a dramatic action-drama kind of movie, which is the movies I'm more drawn to anyway. And then, like I said, when Ryan and I came up with this idea of that structure in Waterworks, then it just seemed natural to go ahead and try it.
Sounds good. Well, Mad Gecko said, fantastic job with the original music score, by the way. Who did that, by the way? I'm just curious.
I composed the music for the Codex.
Awesome.
Aside from episodes 1 and 2, which included music from the Halo soundtrack.
Oh.
But yeah, it was actually the first thing I'd ever composed in my entire life. I had a couple of weeks of piano experience, and then I sat down to compose that score. So it was kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, well, the entire soundtrack is in the key of A until episode 20, when it shifts into a different key, because it took until episode 20 for me to figure out that you could in fact change keys with this program.
Wow.
So it was definitely a learning experience.
Well, good job for the first time using a program to do that. That's great. You said it really adds to the plot. The music from the Halo soundtrack has really been overused in these kind of films. Also, you did a wonderful job using cutscene material and special effects, referring to the night shots, to be able to go where no other Halo Machinima has gone before on that. And his question is, what you've learned from filming the first series that you plan to improve upon next time?
You know, several of the things we've learned have been kind of practical. You know, don't have too many people come help. Was a big one, as Ryan can attest to.
Ryan, you want to tell us how that pans out?
Yeah, after 5 or 6 people, it gets kind of chaotic, and actually, I think we lose footage somehow.
Yeah. You start making negative progress when you've got 12 people screaming, running around the map, going, which is the right gun? And, you know, you've got all your elites lined up with battle rifles, and your humans lined up with plasma rifles, and then somebody throws a grenade and kills all of them. So we learned not to do that. I've also learned, like you mentioned, we did, you know, several special effects kind of things that we learned how to do that we're going to be, you know, reusing or doing you know, similar kind of stuff, maybe, in The Heretic. There's some stuff that we can't tell you about right now.
Ooh, it's very secret.
It's top secret. It's top secret. And we haven't released clearance yet. But it's going to be cool. Nice. But really, it's just... You know, this was the first movie I'd ever made that had any kind of length beyond 10 minutes. And so it was definitely unique in that sense. And telling a story over 2 hours is a lot different than telling a story over 10 minutes, and learned a lot about that.
And we really got a lot of practical experience with the Halo 2 engine, figuring out what we could do, what we couldn't do, what we could do after 2 hours of trying to figure out how to do it, and then after we get the shot, figure out how to do it in 30 seconds, you know, that sort of thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that stuff sucks.
I'll bet it's really challenging to try to find new and interesting ways to do things once you've shot that much dialogue or that much content as well, right? I mean, trying to find something kind of a unique take on it, because you're kind of limited in what you can do on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, it's actually amazing how I guess some of the glitches, such as like getting a character stuck in the air, can create more interesting ways to view a situation, or jumping up on places where you're not really supposed to get to, adds a little more something to the scene, and you can get more dramatic camera angles and, you know, the like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just really knowing how to work with the engine, as opposed to, I guess, work against. I don't know. I'm not making sense.
Yeah, it's fun to go in and figure out how do you do things that the engine was not designed to do but can do.
Right.
And using vehicles in ways that they were never meant to be used, and, you know, funny. Jumping up into weird places to get funny camera angles. It's a fun experience.
Sweet. Well, that's really cool. How would you advise people that are trying to make Machinima to deal with a party full of actors that may or may not have experience in this kind of stuff, or may not be very cooperative? How would you, you know, how would you suggest that you help them stay on task and stuff like that?
First piece of advice is keep it a very small group. You know, after five or six people, things get a bit out of hand. Also, the less experienced these people are with Halo or any sort of video game whatsoever, the more likely they are to follow your instructions, because they're not, you know, they're not used to going around and killing people, and they're not really sure what they're doing, so they're going to be more careful about telling or about listening to exactly what you say and doing that.
Yeah.
Like, one of our crew members, Jinx, actually had never touched an Xbox controller before we recruited her for the Codex.
Yeah, she's actually gotten not competitively good, but surprisingly good, considering how little Halo she plays.
That's pretty cool. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense that someone not experienced with Halo wouldn't be tempted to, like, you know, assassinate someone or throw a grenade anywhere there's a bunch of people or whatever.
Yeah. Another thing is that if you're, like, in a LAN and you're filming that and you're switching controllers between people, you probably want to all be using the same button layout and things.
Oh, gross.
Because yeah. We actually started with one of our actors using Green Thumb. Or no, Boxer. Actually. Yeah, Boxer.
Not Green Thumb, Boxer.
Which is
it was
kind
horrible.
Which is kind of awkward, because you'll try to melee and you'll toss a grenade. We had several
accidental
killings.
Yeah, it's not just like, you know, a thumbstick setting where you try to run forward and you look down, and so you just pause for a minute and then you can get the shot. It's like you melee, you're trying to get a shot where the person just throws their fist in the air, or you're trying to make sure your gun is down, or there are a million reasons why we melee a lot. And you'll throw a grenade and you'll kill everyone in the shot, and then you'll have to wait 15 minutes for everybody to get back set up. So we quickly trained her out of Boxer. She doesn't use Boxer anymore. We're still working on getting everybody. Yeah, we're still working on getting everybody inverted. We like inverted controllers, and some people are still holding out.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yeah, those uninverted people, they're uninverted people. Mm. Yeah, they're
talking crap about uninverted people, man. Oh, I'm gonna have to stick JVB on you for that one.
Yeah, it's a little faction war within the Heretic and the Codex is who's inverted and who's uninverted, because it's just about 50-50. And so you can't kind of justifiably say, look, everybody be uninverted so that you don't have to switch the controllers, because you can't decide which one everybody has to be. So every time we start a new shot and we redistribute the controllers, everybody has to go into the settings and uninvert it or invert it.
Well, makes sense, except for the inverted part. Anyway. So,
you're one of them, aren't you?
I am definitely one of them, yes. I use the default layout. What a concept. So, let's see. Chemo 23, LX Scope XL, and Painkill 05 all ask, what is the Heretic, and when can we expect to see it?
Ah, the Heretic. The Heretic is a mini-series that we're making that's a prequel to the Codex. And we're making it in Halo 2, just like the Codex, and tells the story of what happens leading up to the discovery of the Codex, because the Codex opens, the opening scene is the Praetor kind of stating that he has found the Codex, and so, how? That's what the Heretic is all about. As for when they can expect to see it, we actually just finished getting all the footage for the entire miniseries on Friday. Today is Monday. And we've been getting dialogue and that sort of thing this weekend. I'm actually going to go get dialogue right after this interview and been plugging it in. After that, I have to do all the Foley, all the sound effects, because we replace all the sound from the footage. We delete the audio that came with the footage, and I go in and I place every single battle rifle shot so that I can mix it the way I want.
Wow.
Then we have to send it off to our composer, and he has to write the music. And we've got to throw in a little bit of spice that we're working on that we really can't tell you about right now, but it's going to be really cool.
Several effect
and
sequences
so,
that will blow your mind.
Wow. Spice.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty cool.
Spicy.
So, yeah. So, we're shooting for, you know, mid-fall, maybe late September, early October, as for when we're going to start releasing. But keep in mind that we're definitely in the realm of every day that it's delayed or every day that it doesn't come out, it gets considerably cooler. So.
Okay. Well, let's hope it's not too cool.
Yeah.
Because that would take forever. But no, yeah, we're... I'm definitely excited to see that. I'm really looking forward to that. That sounds great, especially with the spice. It sounds awesome. Very cool.
The unknown spice.
The unknown spice. I'm going to be thinking about that
That
now.
Which cannot be named.
Yes, that makes me a little
Tabasco,
weary, actually.
Yes.
Well, that was awesome. But thanks a lot, guys. Alex, Ryan, appreciate you guys being on the show. And
thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Right on. See you online. All right, I hope you guys dug that. Feel free to check out more interviews in the future at Podtacular. There's all kinds of interviews lined up. There's lots of great stuff coming up. So
you got to see the list of people that are just dying to be interviewed.
Yeah, well, big time now. Everybody wants to be on Podtacular.
I mean, we had to turn down Bill Gates the other day because we're like, dude, we can't fit you in. I'm sorry.
We're like, Bill, you don't even play Halo, man. What are you doing? Come on.
Bill, dude, call me some other day. I'll call you.
Man,
yo, Bill.
Quit calling me. You always call me. Gosh.
I'll see you when we go sword fishing. So
yeah, sword fishing. Yeah. I'll give you some tips, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay. We'll wrap it up, guys. Tune in next week for the Customs and Call-In Show, also known as the Listener Show. We're going to read the top two custom games people sent in, read off some tales from the foxhole, and play the best listener voicemails from the month. And we also have a surprise interview coming up once again.
Awesome. Send also in your send tips. Oh, sorry, go ahead, dude.
No, okay. Stereo.
Go ahead, do it.
Send in your tips, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going, for sure. This next week, we're looking for your custom game types, your stories from Halo Gaming, and or your voicemails. So send them in. You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back once a month in the customs and call-in show. Don't go too long with that. We don't really want to hear the story of your life, but
exactly.
We'd like to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, we ask that you send in your stuff every week to the show. So we ask you to go check out podtacular.com, where you can check out the awesome forums that we have over there. We have some of the most active game forums on the web. We also have tournaments and other exciting events every week. Lots of events going on right now.
Really,
and if you think we're kidding, just go and check it out, okay? You do it now, or else I'm going to make you some cement shoes.
Break your kneecaps.
Gonna break your kneecaps and take you sword fishing. And you're the bait.
Oh man, it sounds like you've done this before, man.
Nah, I would never.
Nah,
it's the reason why I'm in Florida now.
Nah. Yeah, really. Had to get out of town quick.
Yeah. Run
for
your life.
Oh man. Next week, I'm moving to Mexico.
Yeah, really? Or Canada. I can't decide. We had to double our hosting account because of all the awesome community content we want to put on the show, like Halo News and others. So if you guys want to help us out putting out great shows, you can donate with PayPal. There's a link on the right side on podtacular.com. So we appreciate the help.
Exactly. I need a new fishing rod, so some donations coming.
Bill Gates broke it while they were fishing together. He got mad because JVB outfished him so badly. JVB.
Yeah, man, he got mad and he goes, "Damn you, JVB!" And he took my fishing rod and threw it in the freaking
ocean. Yeah.
So now you got a new fishing rod. You got more bait. You're in good shape, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got Bill Gates.
I'm well connected.
Yeah.
All right. Shout outs. The UNSC Ground Battalion. Big shout out to them. Bungie Group dedicated to group fan fiction writing. Link in the show notes, folks. Immortal 3 for redesigning the Podtacular MySpace at myspace.com/podtacular. But you never saw that one coming. Big thanks to Cyclonic for editing audio, as always.
Yes,
and also, Cyclonic. I want to give a huge shout out to all my fellow moderators, Dr. Tom, Dial Peck, Chevelle, Renegade, G. Lewis, all those guys. If I miss anybody, I'm
G. Lewis is still with us? Man.
We're doing just incredible job with the Podtacular forums, dude. It's just growing in leaps and bounds exponentially all the time. So keep it up, guys.
Yeah, man. No, I want to give a shout out to a certain someone who likes to send certain emails who, believe it or not, has swayed me into doing things a little different in the show. And you know who you are, buddy. So don't think that your stuff goes unnoticed.
I'd like to give a shout out to my wife and a shout out to God, because God doesn't get enough shout outs these days.
That's right. Right on.
So here's to you, Jesus.
Yeah. Right nah. I mean, you know, I got to give him a big shout out because lately things have been going very good for me. So,
you know,
my family's safe and things are going well down here. So. I'm getting emo. I'm getting Lone Banana Phone here.
Yeah, really, man. Lone Banana Phone equals emo.
He's gonna send me an email.
He's like, "Oh, thanks, man. Now you ruined my reputation."
Why does this happen to me? I made my mistake. Why do they use that song all the time when they're describing emos?
I don't know, know, man. I guess you do. I don't know. I don't describe emos that much to know that, that song. Wow. Well, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And this is Jude Lane.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on fragging swordfishes.
You don't want some cement shoes.
Fishes cement with shoes. Plasma swords.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody needs a custom made pair of cement shoes, please send me an email. I'll even do a little drawing on the side of something.
Cement shoes at podtiger.com.
Oh, man.
Or if you need a plasma fishing hook, you know where to go.
CementShoes.com. Dude, I shouldn't do that. Just
yeah, you gotta buy that domain now, man. Or somebody's gonna steal it right from under you.
Oh, man.
Oh. All right, guys. Later.
Later.
Bye.
There's only one thing left to say.